This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is If I Were You.
I'm feeling it.
The Only Advice Podcast.
I'm feeling it.
Hosted by Jake Hubier.
I'm feeling it.
I want to.
Email If I Were You and get some good advice.
Okay.
Epic.
I'm feeling this.
Epic.
I was actually
insane.
Feeling it.
That was crazy.
Like Tom DeLonge style.
Crazy.
Huh?
Oh,
Why are you whispering?
Avidel's asleep, so I'm trying to keep it down. But I'm feeling it.
Try not to be shy and amped at the same time. It's
I'm
a
trying
weird.
Trying to be considerate. I'm feeling it.
I don't like the energy you're emanating right now. You're like fucking stoked and reserved.
I'm trying to keep it down. I'm feeling this.
Yeah, it doesn't. Okay.
So just. Sorry, it's loud in my headphones, too.
Yeah. Well, she can't. It's loud in your headphones. She can't hear me.
She's
don't wince.
Stirring. She's stirring now.
She's stirring because you're yelling a little bit. Not me. I'm in your headphones. You keep on saying, I'm feeling this, which is like,
yeah.
It's almost like that's like a level designed to wake someone up from a nap, like a high whisper. Okay.
I know.
Okay. You do know.
I should go to a different room.
Why is she napping in your office?
Because I said, she's like, are you recording?
You have.
No.
You shouldn't have to go to another room. You have a standing desk and your microphone's mounted on it. She should nap. You have other rooms.
She's like, are you recording? And I was like, no, I'm not recording.
Why did you lie?
It's fine. Because I wanted to be like a good guy to her. But
yeah,
now,
well,
like,
now you're being inconsiderate.
It's starting to backfire. She's waking up.
Stop singing the song.
Shit.
Yeah, there she goes.
She left.
She's up.
I was.
She
like,
left the room, or she like left the relationship.
Out. Yeah, I just saw her car peeling
Audi.
Out.
Oh my god!
In
oh
my
god.
Audi,
she took your Audi.
I got an Audi not 2 days ago, and it's gone. It was a TT 2002.
She took your, oh, jeez. The TT? She took the TT, too?
She tosses a tata on the TT. She texted me, I'm Audi 5000, and she crashed it. She
no
absolutely
way.
Wrapped
she
it
She shouldn't
around
be texting and driving. Jesus.
That's what I'm saying.
Is she all right?
Oh, shit. My dog's still asleep.
That's a low priority at this point.
Welcome to If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I am Jake.
So this is coming out Monday 2/22. Kind of a fun date.
2/22. Cool. Yeah. Nice.
Two fun landmarks coming up. One, our live show on Wednesday 2/24. That's in just a few days.
2/24/21. That's right.
Usually we can say this show's going to sell out. You got to get tickets, but let's face it, it's a virtual show. It's going to be fun, but we literally cannot sell out.
Yeah.
We can't sell enough tickets to this.
So
thing.
There's no real rush except for the fact that the show's happening in 2 days. And
yeah,
and we are not releasing it as a podcast. So this is kind of like a one and done type deal. You can
it's a live video stream of us recording a special long, exciting version of this here podcast. And this is the last one before that show. So if you've been delaying and waiting, now's mm-hmm. the time. You can get tickets at jakeandamir.com.
Jakeandamir.com. Do it.
The other thing is that it's 222. Oh, exactly a week before, do you know what it is? 228 or 229, your last flight from LA to New York. That's the 1 year anniversary of your last flight.
Whoa.
It's been almost a year since you've been on an airplane.
Jesus Christ. I didn't think it would happen. I didn't think it would happen.
Yeah. I mean, what was the last year you weren't on an airplane? Like,
I don't.
When you were a child or something.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like I've taken a flight at least once a year since I was like a teenager.
And not only that, but I would say the year before that, you probably took the most flights of your life. I was flying hither and thither almost too much.
Delta Diamond that year. I had diamond. I basically had like a month to use my Delta Diamond status.
Yeah, you ramped up to get this status, and then you promptly quit the reason that you needed the status. Do they hold it on for you? Is there like a pandemic policy? They're like, I know you flew a lot, and we're not just going to take it away. Did they take it away?
I haven't logged into my Delta in a really long time either. I remember like when the pandemic first hit, they were like, you're like, the miles never expire. So I got the miles. And I do remember them being like, your status is going to carry over into the next year.
Yeah.
So I think I should still be Diamond. But also, I can kind of imagine them not doing that because...
Yeah. Sort of all bets are off.
Yeah. They've lost a lot of money. They've lost a lot of cash.
They don't want you then to cash in on a first class flight. Your first flight in a year, and you want it for free. That's not necessarily good for business.
No, they don't want that to happen. But I do still use the Delta credit card for, I guess, I should definitely change that. I should get a cash back thing at this point.
Yeah, well, not even cash. You need whatever the future of currency is. You need a Bitcoin rewards card.
Good news, it is 2021, and I am still Diamond. Here's the issue, though.
Yeah,
if I'm going to keep Diamond, I'm going to keep Diamond in 2022, I have to have already logged like 12,000 miles, and that's not happening. I'm not flying anytime soon, so it's guaranteed. While I still have Diamond to enjoy in 2021, I'm not going to be able to enjoy it because I'm not flying. So then it should be carrying over to 2022, which is when I'm going to start flying again. But they're not going to do that. Not 2 years. I can't accrue the miles. I'm going to be gold like a goddamn schlub by the end of this year.
Yeah, and you know it's going to get upgraded are all the crazy people that have been flying in 2020. They're like, yeah, I just still fucking, you know, went for it.
It was a $13 round trip to New Orleans. What am I supposed to do?
Knox class upgrade?
Epic. Yeah, so I'm penalized for being responsible and not flying. But
would you say in the 52 weeks prior to that, you took 100 flights? So you went from like roughly 2 a week, maybe like roughly 8 a month, would you say? Does that sound about right?
Back and forth, 8 a month. I don't know if I did 8 a month.
Well, every round trip is 2, so. Right.
And I think I probably, I think it was closer to 6 a month versus 8 a month.
So like roughly 75 flights 1 year, and then February 29th hit, and you went from 75 to 0 flights.
It probably was close to 100 because there were times when we'd be on tour and flying like every other day for a little bit.
Right, so, plus layovers, potentially, that's 2 flights technically.
Yeah, that's for real.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird moment, right? When you for the first time in however long, take off and land again.
Yeah, I thought about flying the other day because I'm bidding for this director job.
Oh.
A little commercial gig.
And whoa.
Yeah, no big deal. I won't
Epic.
Get it.
Epic. Okay.
But you
I said I would not fly, so that puts me at the end of the list.
But yeah, like I realized that if I got it, I would have to do like the COVID flight, the stay in a hotel, and it made me frightened after I submitted. Even though I was like, upon hearing it at first, I was cool, but now I'm a little more skittish.
A 6-hour flight and a mask too. Have you ever worn a mask for 6 hours straight? Not necessarily, probably, right?
The longest I wore a mask for like straight was I had to take the train from Connecticut to New York one time in like the early fall, like October.
And that was a mask for an hour and a half or so.
It was probably like 3 hours, but yeah, because I had to take the subway when I got to New York.
Oh wow, the subway in yeah. COVID time. I guess the subway's just still running, right?
Yeah, yeah. People have to take it. The subway seemed less scary than Metro North, because like the Metro North is just like everyone's on there for 2 hours. No one's yeah. like really leaving. It feels like you're breathing the same air. Yeah. yeah. The subway, it was definitely less packed than Metro North. And also people are like coming and going. So maybe it's more people, but it feels like you're sharing space a little less.
Well, either way, you survived both of those trips. So good on you. The mask yeah. must have helped.
But even like being afraid from getting COVID aside, I'm just like, it will be so emotionally jarring to do something that's like outside of my comfort zone, or like outside of my bubble of, which has been like basically the same thing for the last year.
Yeah. I figured out, I think I slept in the same bed every night for a year. You're oh, wow. like occasionally going home.
Yeah. Right.
But imagine that 300, like my first night in a different bed. That's going to be jarring Jesus. As well.
And that, I mean, you haven't done that for a very long time. All 365 nights in the same bed.
Right. Because even when I was a kid, I would sleep with mommy and daddy like twice a week. That's
right. And if you did it too much, they made you sleep out in the garage, right? So you would bounce around the house.
They said I had to sleep over my friend Raj. And that just meant sleep in the garage, nice. Basically underneath the ping pong table. And I would spend weekends with Raj, which is just by myself in the garage.
And I would cry and he would laugh.
The Raj. Because my parents were on the other side of the door laughing. So mm-hmm. it sort of convinced me that the garage itself was cackling at me.
That
my friend
sense.
Raj.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But what was I going to ask you about? Oh, yeah. Have you started hearing stories about, like, I've started to hear some wacky vaccine stories. Like, a buddy of mine was at CVS and they're like, hey, we have 8 leftover vaccinations. If anybody wants. And so he just got the vaccine.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So like, if you do that, if you get the rando vaccine, like if yeah. they're like, if it's a surprise, do they then schedule your follow-up? Because he has to get yeah. two, right?
I so think he's like, grandfathered into the system where so like, now you he have has one, the golden so, ticket.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's cool. I get access to the second shot. Have you heard anything like that?
I heard of a friend whose mom is like a doctor or a nurse and is administering vaccines. And they said at the end of the day, like if they have left over, she goes into the parking lot and just like asks people if they want it.
So that's, you need to tell me that name because that's illegal.
Yes. Yeah,
and what I want to do is get that person fired for what they're doing
They're sort
of ruining the integrity of the program, and that can't be the case. So that nurse basically just...
There's no program.
She worked the last day of her life.
It's all scattershot. It's all insane. I'm not going to give you a name. I'm not going to give you a name, obviously. Obviously, you played your hand. You played your hand, and it was actually a bluff. There was no cards. It was too low. How's that for fucking...
I'm starting to worry. I folded, basically. And now yeah. I'm worried I'll never be able to.
You folded card side up, which was sort of like playing the worst hand you could have had.
Yeah. I mucked my hand, and then I sort of exposed what I had, and it ruined the hand for the rest of the players.
There was a Joker card and a Rule of the Card Games card.
Yeah. Which is not supposed to be in the deck, but this is some sort of weird, quote-unquote, COVID-safe casino we're in. So all bets are off.
So would yeah, you?
I feel like everybody's going to be getting their vaccine, if not in official capacity, in these weird stories starting yeah. soon.
How hard? Like, I'm definitely hearing a lot of people like who know somebody who has extra vaccines who are like they're going to waste, and like somebody who's like, if not eligible, then like eligible adjacent, like you can come get it. That's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I was thinking, like, if I was at a CVS picking up milk and they're like, we have an extra vaccine, do you want it? I'd be like, oh, well, I mean, shouldn't I talk to my doctor about it? And then by the time I do that, 8 other people are like, no, I'll take it. Just give it to me. Yeah. Stick me.
What lengths would you go to get a vaccine at this point?
I'm not super eager because the vaccine doesn't do much for you until everybody has it. So, like, I'm okay waiting until March versus cutting the line in February. But if it was like, you know, you might not get it until next year, then I would probably loiter around pharmacies waiting for them to, you know,
right,
dump their day-old vaccines in a garbage can.
Yeah, the real priority, like my mom got her vaccine because she's a teacher, and that's like, I would
you're an entertainer.
Love the vaccine. I want the vaccine. Yeah. No, I don't want to take my mother's
you
vaccine.
Need to be able to go on the, yeah, you should have given her a dummy arm.
Actually, if I win this fucking directing gig, I'll be really pissed at her for taking my vax.
That's your
I'll
vax.
Be pissed. That should have been my vax.
She should fax that.
Now
vax.
I have to fucking, because if I had been vaxxed, I would have been maskless on the plane, even if they said I couldn't be. I'd
you
be
can't,
like,
you know, yeah. You can't do that.
I yeah. would be like, I'm trying to watch not. Van Wilder here. All right.
Yeah, and you're.
I can't
your
exactly eat
loose.
Doritos and watch Van Wilder. If I have a mask on, can I?
You just have a loose handkerchief.
So. I have a Jack and Diet.
It's 8:42 a.m., sir. We're about to land. We don't have alcohol on this flight. You took Spirit Airlines, and you're flying more than commercial. You're in the last row. It's a non-reclining seat. We
don't just give me 11 bags of peanuts and fuck off.
I said somebody in first class actually is allergic to peanuts, so we can't hand them out. Fear
shit,
that they
really?
What is that?
I had brought my own is all.
Is there a doctor on the flight? This man just murdered my wife.
Is there a doctor? Because I only got one shot, actually. I need and another vax.
I'm in the system is all.
Grandfathered yeah. in.
Well, they say 33 to 50% of Angelenos have gotten the virus, so hopefully between that and the 25 to 33% that will get the vaccine soon, we'll have herd immunity by, I don't know, Thanksgiving?
Yeah, what if you had a guess, when do you think the world is average again?
I don't think there'll be like a date where it's like, all right, 4th of July weekend, all things are lifted. I think it'll be like a gradual, like, all right, now I'm going to eat outdoor dining. All right, now I'm going to eat with my parents indoor. All right, now we're going to go to small restaurants. And then like the last step is like, go to a concert, which is 50,000 people in a mud puddle, sort of coughing yeah. and breathing onto each other. I don't know when that last step is going to happen.
I was barely interested in that before.
Right. But will I you think, be more yeah. interested now that it's been so long? You just have to like get your pent out aggression out in a music festival.
I feel like I still crave the things that I always liked. Like I would love to travel, and I'd love to like eat and get drunk with my friends at a dive bar or a cocktail lounge. That sounds yeah. nice.
That seems like doable in this calendar year.
Yeah, I mean, I did it on the street in the summer. That was right. fine.
Yeah, that was good enough. And we were sort of scared the whole time because we didn't know whether we could give it to one another. But if you're fairly certain, if everyone's vaxxed up.
Yeah, if everyone is, if everybody's been vaxxed and we're drinking outside, I'll have no anxiety at all.
Oh, yeah, if you're outside in addition to the vax, yeah. then you'll be like, yeah, truly
carefree. I loved the outside stuff. It's just like, it's just the masks and like the servers being sad. That's not fun, you know?
Yeah. They're like, ruining my vibe, actually.
The double, can you take the off double your mask, plastic glove people serving you is not, and it's not a joy. It's
you're,
sad that
you're
they have
wearing
to do
a
it.
Garbage bag for some reason. So you're wearing this plastic sort of vest situation, like you're about to get x-rayed.
Yeah.
And then you're out and about, either inside or outdoors.
We need the vax. We need the vax.
Anyway, if anybody out there knows anybody who's like handing out the vax or can spare some extra vax, I mean, I'll stick myself. It doesn't need to be like it's pretty cut and dry, right? You just stick the needle into your eye and then just sort of pump the dye yeah, into the that's eye.
It. That's it. So someone send a mirror needle. That's all.
Yeah. I even tried to do that the other day, but it wasn't the vax. I was just sort of practicing,
right,
as it were. So there's that. All right, we got some questions to get to, but let's take a break. We'll thank some sponsors and then answer some questions on the other side of these messages.
Let's do it.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar. But for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah. Kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz, and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we're back. Unsolicited advice is to get tickets to our live show, jakeandamir.com. It's going to be a fun show. Special guests abound, longer than you're used to, and live video feed. So come on by. And I think you'll be able to have the opportunity to chat with people who are also watching and then also submit questions of your own. So we'll try to do some level of interaction
as much as possible. We also may have some special IRL guests, like, for instance, my wife's going to just come into the room. So
that's right. Without her knowing too, right? You'll sort of lure her into the room.
She does not know yet that I promised that she'd be a guest.
Interesting.
She's unaware. Yeah.
Cause I told Avital, if we found any good relationship questions, maybe she could join. And like, I gave her that heads up, that courtesy. Right. So that when she comes into the show, it'll be like she's fully aware and ready and prepared.
That's awesome. I would do the same thing. If Jill was returning my calls, I texted her, but she didn't respond.
So it's a different issue. And it was entirely. Like, that sucks, man. I'm sorry about that. Let's see if we can get
I was just going to say that when I texted her, because I wasn't sure about this.
I don't know if you want to say this. Yeah.
You can, just don't know. You can cut it out podcast. if it sounds like fucking desperate or anything.
It's gonna sound bad already because yeah, you're talking about.
It's just casual. What I'm trying to say is when I texted her, I texted her at the old number that I always had forever, and it was
your phone number.
It was texted from your phone. Yeah, I texted her number that I've had for a long time, and it was green, and it's usually blue like iMessage delivered, and it was just green.
I see. Yeah,
and it
now
was
I
like,
feel I resp- now I feel like I'm sort of colluding with her because.
Do you know if she got a new phone?
we really do not have this.
We can get
conversation
a,
right now.
We can get a question in. Why don't we get a question in? And it'll be a question from me. Do you know if my wife got a new phone?
She replaced her SIM card on her phone. She has the same phone. She has a new number.
That's all I wanted to know. So she didn't get a new phone. Just a new number. And she's not responding to me.
I thought you were on this group chat.
Email's the same as it ever was? Is the email the same as it ever was?
Email's the same, but I really thought you were on these group texts and these group emails. She's changing some stuff up. She's going back to
that's cool.
Her email and phone number from before Jake. She calls it BJ era.
Oh,
so we'll see.
Okay. That shouldn't be hard to track down.
You don't have to track it. Just have a... Try to have.
I just wanted a guest on the podcast, is all. I think it'd be pretty neat if she was on the live show.
No, now that I'm realizing what's going on, I don't think you should trap her, trick her into coming on the live show. You should definitely not have the first conversation with her.
If you have her number, you let her know to come on the live show, and that'll be... It'll be like we're having another meet cute.
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be a meet cute, man. She's with Jackson, actually, this weekend.
Jackson?
So Oh, no.
Her spinning instructor? Yeah, right.
Yeah. I guess she's been using the Peloton you got her for Christmas a lot, right? Yeah. So she...
That's right. We got her Peloton for Christmas. Yeah, she loves Jackson's classes. But
she
I know
does
they...
love. She loves Jackson's classes. That's okay. For sure. That is
and
for
they actually,
sure.
They've been. And, is she doing like studio classes with them when they're hanging out? Is that what you mean? Like she's going to do live classes in the studio?
Here's a question from somebody who wants to know about his wife's cousin, so
ooh.
His in-law. That's kind of funny. Why don't we call this guy? Does Jill have a cousin? Maybe we can name this guy after her.
She has a cousin, but the only name I could think of off the top of my head right now is Jackson. Yeah. It's fucking Jackson.
I'm afraid.
I'm just looking at this fucker's Instagram stories. He obviously should have gone private because he's obviously with my wife. They are in Ibiza. That's fucking insane.
I thought you knew.
I'm logging my Delta account, and it looks like Jill flew with him using my miles.
Yeah, I guess your diamond status was transferable, and she took a pill in Ibiza, if you can believe it.
Holy shit.
All right, Jackson. Let's call this guy. Jackson writes, my wife's cousin has been having a hard time finding her soulmate, but she finally found him. Unfortunately, when we met him, my wife and I both picked up on some serious pedophile vibes. He's a middle school teacher, a youth leader, and a Boy Scout leader. He also really liked playing with our girls. My question is, do I tell her cousin about these vibes and risk making fools of ourselves, or go with the flow and hope she has, and realize she will have a rude awakening down the line? Anyway, thanks for reading this email. I met you both in Seattle. So how strong of a vibe do you have to just go for it and say, I'm picking up vibes?
I think it has to be stronger than that, because that vibe is, at least according to the email, based on just like his job.
Yeah, his job and his hobbies and the fact that he was enjoying playing with this guy's kids.
It's a really low bar. Like anybody that becomes a teacher because they're like, they care about children's education. Like, I don't know. I feel weird being like the don't worry, this guy's not a pedophile guy, because, you know, I could easily be on the wrong side of history.
Yeah. But, high risk is hopefully a higher reward, but you can't also accuse someone of that on a hunch.
Yeah, you don't have enough information yet. You definitely don't have enough information to like confront your cousin.
Yeah, if you go for that swing and you miss, that's almost as bad as being the pedophile, as the guy that accused this guy who's just a teacher of being a pedophile.
Right, because then you're like, just like, why would you want to hang out with all the kids if you didn't want to fuck them? I can't imagine any reason. Like, I think you actually sound like the pedophile.
All right, forget I said anything. Happy wedding day. This is you giving the toast at the wedding.
To Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, that's tough. And I don't think it should come from you. It has to come from your wife, who's this person's cousin. But then it's not like a sibling. It's a cousin. So, like, I don't know. That seems kind of intense, too.
Yeah, I would stay out of it. I would not. I wouldn't touch it. I think it's
wife's cousin. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's not your jurisdiction. I don't think.
No, it's not. And all you can really do is be prepared if the cousin ever comes to you and is like, "Is it weird that my boyfriend is a teacher?" And
yes, you're talking about the pedophile thing. Oh no, I was saying, do you think he's a good teacher? Oh, no. For sure. Shit. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
There would have to be different vibes that you did not include in this email for me to be concerned.
Right. Or more widespread vibes. Like, are the vibes just yours? Or are there vibes that belong to other people too?
Yeah.
We need to know more. We can't answer this question. But I guess...
But neither can you.
That's right.
That's right.
So don't start accusing people based on a hunch when the accusation is so serious. Anyway, keep us posted, I guess.
Definitely.
We got another email from a guy who's getting into trading cards, and he says, since Amir has gotten into basketball cards, whoa, I thought you guys could help out. All right. We'll call this guy, let's call him Chris Paul, because that's the last basketball card I bought.
I got the fucking goat.
Chris?
I got the goat.
Oh, that's right.
We never talked about it.
I never had
my unboxing.
So you had, you won the Super Bowl bet. You said Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Bucks would win the Super Bowl. The stakes were, I had to send you a trading card of $50 or less. And I found you that PSA 10, that's Gem Mint, highest graded possible, LeBron James card from the 2015-16 or 16-17, the year he won the championship.
Wow.
It's, Cavs card.
Yeah, 2016-2017.
That's it. That's the year. That's the Cavs championship year.
Oh, that's incredible.
The hope here is that you hold on to that card. LeBron one day wins another MVP, maybe another championship or two, becomes the GOAT, and you have his highest rated card from the year he won his most important championship. That $50 card is worth what? $51, $52 in 10 years?
Cool. That's
you can't
cool.
get that kind of return anywhere else right now.
Honestly, I love the way the card, I don't even care about the cash. I mean, the cash is good. I'm glad that it's going to get me rich, but I love the way it
cash
feels.
Is king.
I love the way it looks. I love the way it tasted. I took it out of the package.
You can't, don't take it out of the vacuum.
What I did,
PSA sort of vacuum seals it like that so that it stays in gem mint condition. So do not take it out.
But I had to make sure that this was a legit paper card because it looks so plastic.
And I was worried, you don't have to do anything because it's PSA authenticated and graded. They made sure. And
what I was concerned about is that this wasn't even a basketball card at all because it looks more like a fucking
wafer.
It's clear. It's heavy. It's plastic. I opened it up and I was able to feel that it is paper. I even to verify that it's
throw it
a card.
Away.
To verify that it's a card.
The
and
card
not a
is
fucking,
worthless
like,
now.
Paper.
You ruined the card.
I was
ruined,
able to open it up and I snipped the edge right here.
That's automatically that
and
makes
I tasted
the card
ink on the back, which makes me know that it's actually legit. This was printed on
that's
paper.
Now a PSA zero. It's not even an authentic card anymore. I gave you a $50 bill and you set it on fire, basically.
It's still the goat. It's still LeBron James.
Now that you hold the card, do you understand a little bit more the hobby of, oh, I can like, I want to look and start adding to the collection of cards that look like this?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. If this was of interest to me, like the thing is I could imagine if you had sent me like I'm trying to think of like my other favorite basketball player, JJ Redick.
A J.J. Redick rookie.
Yeah, if you sent me like a non-GOAT card, I could see myself wanting LeBron James. But having this card, I feel like I've got everything I could possibly need. But I understand your compulsion for it.
Right.
Your drive.
The idea to add to my list, my ever-growing collection.
It checks so many boxes for you because it's kind of like a cryptocurrency type thing.
Exactly. But
with the thing that you like the most, with the players that you like the most, which your favorite sport, which you have like an insane knowledge for already. It's a blending of all your passions.
Have I even told you about Top Shot, which is like an even more blending of the passion? It's not just physical paper cards like this. It's a literal blockchain technology. It's digital cards where every moment is serialized and you quote unquote own it like you would a Bitcoin.
No.
Yeah. What? So if you think this is up my speed, imagine literal cryptocurrency as digital basketball moments that you can buy and sell a marketplace.
How much is the chase down?
So thanks for asking. The most expensive play was actually a Zion dunk because they don't have every play in NBA history. They're being very methodical about it. So they released most highlights from last year and then they're slowly releasing ones from this year. The most expensive purchase was a Zion dunk, which was serial number one, like quote unquote, the first one that they made, minted, even though it's literally a YouTube video, for $100,000. Somebody bought it for.
Someone owns a, how long is the video?
It's like a 3-second clip played like 4 or 5 times from different angles. So maybe 15 seconds total.
And like, what makes owning that better than watching that and like having it and seeing it? Like you can watch this guy's cash, right?
Yes, you can watch his cash and you can also see the page that says Zion Williamson dunk number 1 of 100 or something. And then it goes owned by this person. So that guy's like, this is mine. And then he can sell it for whatever he wants. Maybe list it for $150,000. So like the next millionaire that wants to invest will buy it from him and he'll make a profit.
So this is like closer to art, owning art, than it is like cash or stocks, I think.
Yeah, well, cards is like
this
art.
This is like what people do. You like buy it. Yeah, but you like buy, I think that this is like digital art. That's like, I mean, having the website display your name is like totally more about collecting the art than investing in the stock.
Yeah, and people are doing digital art now too. Like you can start buying like CryptoKitties was the first thing where it was like, not the first thing, but one of the first use cases of these non-fungible tokens, which is like sort of digitizing art and putting a finite amount to it. And like people are starting to sell artwork that quote, only one person can own. This is just the NBA version of that. And it started like sometime last year, it blew up in like October, November, and since then has skyrocketed. Like NBA players are now tweeting about it, opening their packs online, and like every day in the last 5 days has been the most transactions and the most sale dollars on this marketplace.
Is there any, would you buy one? Are there any that are in your budget?
Oh, Jacob, how much time do you have? Would I buy one or have I bought many and sold many in the last 4 weeks? You have no idea how deep this rabbit hole goes. We don't talk anymore. We don't talk anymore. Yes, I purchased many. I have sold some and I'm sitting on dozens of others. I am fully deep, whole hog, 100% invested in this Top Shot marketplace.
Did you take your money like out of your 401k?
I couldn't. First of all, I can't take money out of my 401k unless I claim some sort of medical exemption, which I wasn't able to do. So what I was able to do after talking to Schwab, and trust me, I pledged.
You actually talked
case.
To Chuck? You talked to Chuck?
I talked to Chuck. I did talk to Chuck. I ended up having to use Bitcoin, crypto money that I had, and I moved it over to this marketplace and started using that as my means of currency. So it's sort of fake money to buy fake cards. It felt like a fun adventure that I was about to go on.
Have you made cash on the transactions that you made?
On the transactions that I've made, yes, but I've also, I have a bunch of cards that I haven't sold yet. So overall, I'm, quote, down until I sell the cards that I do have. Right. And I shouldn't even call them cards. They're moments.
Are the moments that you have, are they increasing in value or are they staying still?
Great question. Some are increasing and some are staying still.
Okay. If yeah. I wanted to buy a moment, what's the lowest they go for?
$2, $3. You can get a Reggie Bullock steal, who was on the Knicks, serial number 14,860, for like $2 or $3, and either hold it, have it in your collection, or try to list it for sale and make a few bucks.
I see. Okay.
To get my card, my fucking Nikola Jokic turnover, that'll cost you $38,000.
Whoa.
Oh, shit. Somebody actually, I guess they built hijacking into the system. Somebody
was
able to.
That's the thing that scares me. Like,
my moment was ganked from under me. I can't believe this.
Yeah, they could easily do that. They could easily steal your moments.
They took my money and ran, if you can
believe
it.
I owned Jokic for this.
I had a fucking, he dribbled it off his foot. It was a blooper series.
What if he just showed up at your house and he was like, you can't own my moment. You have to give it back.
Well, that's what NBA players are doing now. They're like, wait a minute, I'm on this website and I'm not making any money. And then some are like buying their own moments and selling them at a profit, which is pretty funny.
Jesus. Are they is the site allowed to, how do they own the moments?
So it's a company that partnered with the NBA Players Association. So they have a licensing deal. So all the money that they make, they give the NBA a cut of it. So it's all official, above the board, legal website.
Wow.
Yeah. Check it out. NBATopShot.com.
Very, very cool.
Very intriguing. I did a whole Buckets episode with Billy. So if you want an even deeper dive, check out my last episode of Buckets with Billy, where we talk all about trading cards and then we get into the top shot of it all.
Is Billy invested as well?
He's dabbling as well. We're starting to get into it. The thing is, like, we recorded that like 2 or 3 weeks ago and we were like, wow, this is really blowing up, but who knows? And like since then, all the prices have like quadrupled and like quintupled since then. So we're like, oh shit, we should have bought a lot more cards back then and just sold them for 5 times what we bought in for.
God.
So hopefully it keeps going up and up, that you're not too late. It's still technically in beta, so there are still some bugs and difficulties associated with it. There's also packs that they release every once in a while. They'll be like, there's 5,000 packs available where you can like buy a set of 3 to 5 digital moments, and then you wait in line, but it's all online. And then if you make it to the top whatever 5,000, 10,000, 50,000 of this digital line, then you can buy a pack for like $9 and that'll give you 3 moments as well.
And do you know what's in the pack? Like, could you
do not?
So you could spend $9 and then like, oh, is it actually random, or do they like control, like they're not going to put anything that's worth like $20,000 in the pack? It's not like a lottery or anything.
It is like a lottery, and they can't make it, they can't make every card worth $20,000, but they are incentivized to put some like rare cards out there because they make a portion of every sale. So they want people to get like a $10,000 moment and sell it,
right,
because they'll make $500 off of it.
So, and you are the person that told me to buy Bitcoin, and you also told me to buy Tron. And you were right about one of those things.
Is this more of a Bitcoin where you hold and it just keeps going up and up and up? Or is this more of a Tron, a bubble where it's like, it's flying really high right now, and then in a month, everyone will sell all their moments and the entire market will crash?
What happened to GameStop? What's GameStop trading at?
I think it's slowly trickling down to where it was before all this nonsense.
That makes sense.
It went from like 10 to 500 and now it's what, in the 40s?
I just don't have the like the stomach for all the day trading, for the fast turnaround. I'm a steady as she goes type of guy.
It's definitely more stressful to put more money into it. The higher the reward, it literally is. It's a risk reward thing where you're like, now I'm nervous that this moment is not going to go up and I'm going to have lost my capital.
Mm-hmm. When I think about like having a ton of cash, I think about like buying land.
Right.
That I'll just like hang on to forever. That's like my level of investing.
Yeah, and that's like how a lot of people start, and then they sort of get into this hyperactive moment, and you're like, okay, now I need that quick return. Shit, this didn't double over the last 10 days. What else is doubling even faster than that? More, faster, better. And like, these digital cards don't take up any space at all. I don't have to visit land or make sure nobody's setting fire to my land or stealing my cards or keeping my cards in a safe. This is all digital. You don't have to get them graded. You don't have to make sure that your dog doesn't bite into it because it's completely online and you can transfer it instantly and for free. So there's some pros and cons to Top Shot versus physical cards.
It's just all over my head. Like, maybe I would get into actually buying art. I would have like a painting that I liked to see. Like,
imagine that, a fucking painting. How do you know? How do you know if that painting is good and will appreciate over time? I don't understand art like I do basketball.
Yeah, that's fair. And you know, I wouldn't expect you to understand art as well as I do, but that's for another episode.
What's an artist that you think like we have that to, you think is gonna? we haven't even reached the second question, let alone the break.
I think we have to go on to a break and we'll come back. But
I think
why
so
don't we
too.
Just leave it as, let's just leave it at that.
Name three artists and then we'll go to break and then we'll come back. Just because I want to look into it too. I want to educate myself.
I just think that we should say, let's
name
just,
one artist
for posterity.
Ever.
I know more.
I'll start. Picasso. Just right. You name any artist.
Okay. I will. All right. Picasso, when you said, I'll also take that.
Oh my God. And, you know even less about art than you do about basketball, and you know nothing about basketball. You
LeBron
don't know
James
about
is
anybody.
An artist on the court, so that's two. Picasso, LeBron.
And did I mention me? Look what my four-year-old did.
I drew a horsey. Huh?
Holy
how much
shit,
would you pay for this?
That's a swastika, dude. Put that away. The fuck is the matter with you? All right, let's take a break, and then we'll actually answer this guy's question, not about basketball cards, but about Pokemon cards. That's right, that's having a moment, too.
Good Lord.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow, very exciting.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022. Mm-hmm.
You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's gonna happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app.
That's right.
That finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what you saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month.
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, okay. Quasi-legal,
no,
kind
no.
of dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money
me.
Found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money. Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Gracias,
Babbel. Very good. I don't know if you know this, Jake, but I'm already bilingual.
Really?
Yep. I grew up in a Hebrew-speaking household.
Ken.
Lamadti ivrit babayit. That means I learned Hebrew at home.
Mm.
The best way to learn a language is through immersion.
Yes.
But if your parents aren't actually from a different country and constantly speaking to you in that language, how do you immerse yourself?
You're not going
to
get immersed, folks.
The best way to do so is by using Babbel.
Babbel.
It's a science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Ooh.
You don't have to pay hundreds of dollars for tutoring, okay?
Yeah.
You can just spend 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by 200 language experts that help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Incredible.
I need this because, you know, I already got the Hebrew. I want to go French. I want to go Spanish.
You should go full French. Let's go full French on your rap.
Let's French. Let's French.
Bonjour indeed.
Oui, oui.
How about a special limited time offer for our listeners? Right now, you can get 55% off your Babbel subscription.
Whoa.
But you got to go to babbel.com/segments. That's 55% off babbel.com/segments, spelled BABBEL.com/segments.
Segments, and segments is spelled SHA. And
you are illiterate L-N. In English.
Yeah.
So I say throw English away. That's not going to happen for you.
I'll go full French.
Go to Italian.
I'll go Italian.
Go to German.
Yes, I will
and
go
I'll
to German.
And I'll meet you there.
Yes, guten Tag.
Thank you. Rules and restrictions may apply indeed. But again, you can get 55% off at Babbel, BABBEL.com/segments.
Love it.
Ciao.
Adios.
And we're back. Okay, here's this guy's question.
Okay.
Did we get this guy a name? LeBron James, Picasso James writes.
Picasso is the GOAT artist. LeBron is the basketball player.
Got it.
Picasso. Yeah.
I think
it's, by the way, it is Picasso. I think you misheard it and you keep repeating it. You're doubling down on how wrong you are.
People
would think you misspoke. The fact that you keep saying it. Makes it
whoever
clear
the hell
that
he is,
was.
I think he's the greatest artist that ever lived. That's all I wanted to say.
Nice.
And if that makes me have a good take, then fucking so be it. I think that's pretty neat. If people hear me say that he's the best artist of all time, and they're like, oh, Jake actually knows what he's talking about, then maybe that's a pretty solid upshot for me.
I know what you think.
Arguably,
and that's
I
not
fucking
what's
wanted
happening.
That to happen.
Right. Oh my god.
You
are a loser today. You're a loser today. For sure you're a loser. You know nothing and you've overplayed your hand. You said exactly why
you wanted to. Was a loser too.
Here's the situation, writes Picasso. My friends and I are into Pokemon cards. Kind of dorky, I know, but stay with me. About a week ago, my friend found some decently priced packs at our local card store, and he asked me if I wanted any. I said, sure, give me 2 packs, and I Venmo'd him the $15 that he spent. We opened our cards together over Discord, and miraculously, I pulled an absolute beast, the hyper-rare Charizard GX.
Whoa.
For the layman, this card is pretty much the holy grail of modern Pokemon cards. It's hundreds of dollars ungraded, and even in the thousands of dollars range, if you get a good grade on it. Like yours is a PSA 10. If this guy grades his card and it's a 10, it's worth thousands of dollars. Herein lies the problem. He's freaking pissed at me. After I pulled, I obviously went crazy, but he sat there stone-faced. After I calmed down, he said, I kind of feel like I deserve that card since I bought it and all. And now, like a week later, he still barely talked to me. So what do I do? I really don't feel like I'm in the wrong here, but am I? Do I give him the freaking card? Do I sell it and give him some of the money? Amir, if you bought someone a pack of basketball cards and they pulled a crazy expensive card, would you be pissed? How do you make amends with this guy? Thank you for all your help. And shout out to NADPOD.
Hey, thank you. I mean, no, this dude, this all, he's in the clear. You paid for the cards. I could see this if the cards were a gift, like, and even then I think it's egregious to be like, I got you that gift. You should give me the card back. I meant to get it for you when it was worthless.
It's like you gave someone scratchers for their birthday and it's like, now he won $10,000. You don't get the cash. Otherwise it's not a gift. There's no reward. It's like, hey, well, you do this work for scratching this shit for me, and if you win money, it's mine now.
If you get some scratches, it's really showing your hand. Like, I meant to just get you a $1 birthday gift. I didn't mean to get you a $10,000 birthday gift. I'm sad now. You're not worth anything to me.
No upside at all. Like, if that card that I gave you ends up being worth $2,000 one day, you'll give me $2,000 for sure.
Right? No. I will not. I won that card.
You won it. What are you talking about?
You
I bought it for you.
You can't threaten me over Zoom.
I will kick your ass.
Yeah. Try.
I'll choke you to death.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How'd you do that? You punched me in the nose.
I have a voodoo of you, dude. I do. I really do.
I think at the very most, if you want to, like, try to... I think that... your friend's not going to stop being pissed at you. Whether or not I think you're right is almost irrelevant. I think you are in the right, but your friend is resolute and stubborn, and I don't think he's going to come around to your point of view. So if you want to make things right, I think the path of slightly less resistance is to be like, I'll split this with you. You had the idea. You picked the card up. I did pay you for it. And they are technically, like, after that transaction, I owned the card. You know, like, that's how it would work. But if you're going to be a little dickling, I will split this with you so you don't get all pissy about it. Okay? That's kind of the vibe.
Yeah, this guy definitely should have had a deal in place before. Like, there's no use saying, oh, actually, I got these cards for you, but under the pretense that I'll owe you the profit. The fact that you guys didn't discuss that at all means that he doesn't have a leg to stand on legally. If you want to be nice to him, you can give him some of the profit.
Right.
But again, legally and morally, you owe him.
He's got nothing. Do you feel like it's more palatable or less to be like, if this card was graded low and it's only worth like $300 versus if it was a PS 10 and it was worth $100,000.
I would think if the more money you get, the more you can get. Like if it was worth $100,000, I would probably give the guy that bought the pack, that came up with the idea, that gave me the pack, like $10,000, $15,000. That way he's excited, but I still have $85,000. But if it's like $300, I think I'm keeping the cash. Am I going to give him another $10 for his efforts?
Oh, I was sort of imagining, like, if it's worth $200, it's like pretty fun, and you could just be like, "Let's split it. We each have $100. What a joy!" But if it's like $50,000, that like cutting it in half really starts to hurt. It's a big old chunk.
Half is that's like almost the most you can do. I guess the most you can do is give them the entire card, but that's crazy. That,
I mean, no,
let's not even discuss.
Yeah. I think you say I'm gonna get it graded. I'll give you some of the money, and then
I did this. I bought a case of basketball cards and I sold off the boxes to friends. So I bought 20 boxes of basketball cards, and I just sold them to my friends for what I paid for them, because I didn't want to open 20 boxes. And if they should pull a Michael Jordan card and it gets graded a 10, that's worth $800. But I'm not like, do all that work, get it graded, sell it, and then give me the money. It's like, you paid me for the lotto ticket. You won. Mazel. And now you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah. So there is work, like, to get it. How do you get it graded? Do you mail it?
Yes. There's
so it
several
get fucking
companies.
Bent in the mail. It could.
Yeah. You have to put it in a, like a sleeve, and then a top loader, or like a card holder, and then wrap it up really nice and send it off to PSA or wherever you want to get it graded. But these companies, because the trading card business has blown up over the last year, these companies have a line right now of over 1 million cards waiting to be graded, and they literally have to do it by hand. So Jesus. There's a 6, 8, 10 month waiting list for me to send a raw Michael Jordan card to them and get it back. And I have to pay $20, literally wait 6 to 8 months and get it back. And it could be like worth a PSA 7 because there was a corner bent, and I paid him $20 and the card's worth like 15.
Do you have one? Are you going to send it to them?
I do have cards, and I don't know if I'm going to get them graded yet. I might wait like a year or two, since I'm not eager to sell them right now anyway. And then maybe they'll like hire more people, get some more graders, and speed up the line.
But don't they, like, as they sit in your house, don't they get more, like, isn't there more chance that they'll be a lower grade? Like, isn't it better to just, like, go, because when they grade them, do they vacuum seal them, put them in, like, something nice when they send them back too?
They put them in exactly this, the thing that you got. Okay. Every PSA graded card comes in this vacuum sealed plastic that you can't open up. This isn't, like, open upable.
It's not?
Sealed with a QR code and a serial number that says it's authentic and it's a 10.
I think I can open mine up. Give me one.
I guess you could
second.
Crack it open, but then it would really ruin the integrity of the card.
Hold on, I have a hammer.
Oh God, he's eating it. He's eating the card again. Don't eat the card again. So yeah, it takes a while. It takes a while to grade it, and it's a lot of work, and it's annoying. So if you do all that work and it comes back at 10 in a year, I think that money belongs to you.
Right. Fair. Fair.
Fair and squared. My God, can you imagine pulling a fucking Charizard GX? You're shitting me with that. That's what non-basketball fans feel like when I talk to them about these cards. I feel like I'm talking to like about a poke. Like if I say Dario Saric or Charizard GX, it's all gibberish and stupid to you, right?
I mean, I knew what Charizard is and I don't know the other thing.
So yeah, this is what my parents must think if I ever told them I bought a trading card, which I would never do. Are you kidding me? I spent my money on this plastic. Yeah, what a waste of time.
I think that this is just going to be an ongoing trend as like millennials and kids that grew up in the 90s start having money. The things that are like worthwhile to us are nostalgia and like weird shit like that. So
yeah, trading cards have been around for over 100 years. So
in theory. I used to go to the store and get them. We should just try to predict the next thing.
Yeah, well, the next thing is like creating your own marketplace. Like if we created instead of trying to buy a fucking Luka Doncic 3 and sell it for 2x, why don't we make the marketplace that we get 5% of every person who's buying and selling anything.
Let's do Jake and Amir moments. Exactly. So like the 3 seconds of you shitting your khakis in the
That's a one of one. That's right. That's a rare pull. That's an amazing pull if you can get that one. And there's 15,000 of them. Wow. So we flood the marketplace.
That's good. You doing the Henry dance, that's worth a fucking Bitcoin now.
$58,000 for a fucking gif of me doing the dance? All right. That's actually really good. Now we just have to figure out someone who's smart enough to build this marketplace for us. But it kind of exists already. I'm telling you, Top Shots is just an iteration of something else, and I'm sure the NFL will start doing their own situation soon, and any TV or movie can get in on it as well.
It's really, really crazy.
Sign up. I'll gift you a card.
I guess I would. There's like probably TV shows or movies that I would do it for.
Yeah, like a Game of Thrones moment or something.
Right. If I could own... It's so dumb. It makes no sense. Yeah,
it's not owning.
It's not owning. I don't actually own the moment. I just own this website's portrayal of the moment.
That's right. It's not like you're buying a cell from an animated movie that was actually used.
Yeah.
It's like you're buying a reenactment of it.
Wild.
All right. A lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. I'm sure we'll talk about it more as I slip even deeper into a depressed bankruptcy buying and selling these digital cards. And we could talk about it more during the live show.
Yes!
Which, again, is in a few days. Tickets still available at jakeandamir.com. You're going to be watching a live stream of us and some friends and some family.
Correct.
Answering some questions. It's going to be a very fun time, a fun show. You'll be able to ask questions of your own as well. And again, it's a podcast episode that won't exist in the feed. So this is your one opportunity to have fun on a Wednesday night in this crazy pandemic. What else do you got going on a Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern?
That's right.
And if you have your own questions or theme songs, send them on down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. And we're still making videos on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/JA.
That's right.
Opening theme song was the I'm Feeling This. Oh, wait, did we ever say who it was? I think we started talking about whispering and never got back to it.
Yep, we sure did. I hope they listened till the end.
This is better because it's like in your ears right before you stop listening to the show. So it's this is the third Blink-182 song that this guy did.
Thank you.
The last one was First Date. And the lyrics I wrote were, Jake and Amir seem to last forever. Jake and Amir will last forever. Seem to upset you, / you found threatening. So I apologize for that. And he wants to give a shout out to his TikTok at Alexander Lanzi, LANZI, which would be cool. So check out Alexander Lanzi's TikTok. I'm still on TikTok as well, so I can check that out.
And I deleted it, but everyone else should check it out.
This closing theme song is a Lil Diddy that Slundy made when he was bored. And if you end up
Slundy?
Using it...
I didn't realize Slundy threw this one our way. That's awesome. Thanks, Slundy.
Yeah, shout out his EP, which is called Cocaine Lemonade. Great title.
Whoa, two of my favorite things.
Which is available pretty much everywhere. No comment on the theme song. We're all thinking it, whatever that means. So thank you, Slundy. Thank you. Check out his EP, Cocaine Lemonade. And thanks, Alexander, for the opening theme song. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back as soon as possible.
Bye.
Ciao for now.
Stand up. What?
taking a mirror. Lover is taking a mirror. Lover is taking a mirror.
Did I mention cash?
You did when you said money.
That was a HeadGum Original.